Everyone wake up, people! This one goes out to teachers.
Teachers and students.
It's time to get our learn on. And we got a lot to learn, too.
I don't know it all, but I know a few things.
Science. You hear? You take up space, you matter.
It's just science, man.
Don't be a bully.
Don't even be a bully to the bullies. It just makes more bullies.
We can all be awful sometimes.
We can all also be awesome.
It's time to be more awesome.
And that's what it's time for.
History. We gotta study it so we don't repeat it.
But if history does repeat itself, then I'm gonna name my pet dinosaur
Reginald.
I just hope he doesn't eat me.
We can't just study history. We gotta make history.
And history is made by ordinary people.
Ordinary people like you
and me.
And that guy.
The world's greatest thinkers.
Confucius,
Albert Einstein,
Justin Timberlake. They put their pants on one leg at a time,
just like me.
But I put my pants on one leg at a time while I'm dancing.
You can go by. Yeah.
You're gonna be in the video though. Life is school, and you gotta show up.
You can't just sleep in.
You can't be late.
And you can't just hang out in the bathroom, that's gross.
It's like Walt Whitman said, yellow. Except he didn't say that, but you would know that if you would read a book, baby.
Seriously, read a book, any book except the vampire ones.
You wanna change the world?
You gotta know about it.
What if Shakespeare didn't go to school?
His plays would be even more confusing.
To be or not to be? Is that the question?
I don't know what a question is. I didn't go to school.
Anybody? Help me out here.
I got a question for you.
But why are you teaching the world?
How to be boring? How to make the world sad?
No, you're not.
We're teaching the world what it looks like to be awesome.
No matter who you are, somebody's learning from you.
Everybody's a teacher and everybody's a student.
Look for the awesome.
Teachers see things.
They see when you're running down the hall.
They see when you're passing notes.
But they also see the person that we can all become someday.
A writer or a speaker or Martin Luther King.
Teachers, keep teaching.
Students, keep studying.
That's not a word. Sorry about that.
Here's to teachers that see the awesome.
The homework is this.
What do you want to teach the world?
Do it.
Let's make some history together.
Because it's simple math.
Together, we're better.
Those girls are a little too loud.
Is there a teacher who inspires you?
Let them know.
This is for teachers everywhere.
So share it with them.
We gotta make the world awesome.
Somebody's learning from you.
I'm out.
So just like Kid's president says, which would be pretty awesome if Kid President was here, just be honest, and not me. But like Kid President says, we can all sometimes be awful, but we can always all be awesome too. And that's where the tongue comes in. The tongue can be and say some pretty awful things, but it can also say some pretty awesome things as well. How we use our tongue kind of defines us as human beings and as people in many ways. So good morning. Thank you for being here today. My goal today is to hopefully add some value to your life and help you along in your walk with God, wherever that may be. So I'm glad you're here today. Today we're talking about, as Eric said, the power of our tongues and what words our tongues produce and how powerful those are. So a couple interesting things about tongues this morning, which I know you came here specifically for. So, first of all, the tongue is the strongest muscle in proportion to its size in the human body. So that's kind of interesting. For some of you, it gets a serious workout every day. So it's no surprise that it's the strongest. Also, the tongue heals faster than any other part in the body. Kind of interesting. And probably more gross and interesting. More than half of the bacteria that lives in your mouth, and there is bacteria that lives in your mouth, and you're thinking right now, ew, like you can scrape your tongue all you want with your teeth, there's still bacteria there. More than half of it lives on your tongue, which is really gross, let's be honest. So when it comes to using our tongues, how do we use it? Well, The average person, I found, speaks more than 370 million words in their lifetime. Women more than men. Women speak about 20,000 words a day. Men, significantly less than that, as a general rule. All right, so today I want to identify what God has to tell us about the power of the tongue, the power of the words that roll off our tongue, and how we can use that power to change the world and change the world around us. Because God has given us that power of words to really change the world. So, almost the entire book of James, and we'll be in James, in and out of James throughout the our time together today, but almost the entire book of James is dedicated to this the tongue and the words and how we match or how we're supposed to match our actions with our words. Remember the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Yeah, words, yeah, they'll never hurt me. But we know that's not true. We know actually it's the words that hurt the most. It's the words that leave the deepest impressions one way or the other on our lives and the lives of people around us. It's those words that make the biggest difference. James is not shy about his judgment of the tongue. He says in chapter 3, James chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." Wow. We'll actually talk some more about that. So think about that for a second. Why is the tongue such a restless evil? Why is it so difficult to tame? We'll talk more in depth, but the reality is that all the tongue is and the words that come off your tongue and my tongue, all they are a direct reflection of what's in our hearts. And it's our hearts that are inherently evil. The Bible is very clear about that. As good as we try to be or as good as we think we are, our hearts are inherently evil and are in need of salvation. They're in need of heart change that can only happen through God and his son Jesus Christ and what he did for us. So we'll get into that. But without that, without Jesus, our hearts are evil. And when evil hearts come, things out of our mouths that should always, oftentimes, surprise us. Not in a good way, unfortunately, me included. So let's think about the words we use. What do we use our words for? Well, a lot of things, and we could, you know, make a list of probably a million different things. But we use words to make promises and break promises. We use words to build others up. We use words to tear people down. We use words to puff ourselves up. We use words to make, to tell the truth. We use words to tell lies. We use words to support our own position or tear somebody else's position down. And when I was, you know, putting this message together several weeks ago, as I got word that I was going to have an opportunity to share this morning, I tell you, it's been like the hardest 3 weeks when it comes to like talking, because now I'm like, I know I'm going to have to deliver this message, and now I got to be on my best behavior because that's what I should be doing. So the last 3 weeks has been really hard, but I'm really excited this afternoon, like all bets are off, so I've been storing up a lot of things to say about a lot of people behind their back. No. But honestly, I mean, that's one of the hardest things that I've come across, just because I know there's so many things that I say in a given day that when you're preparing a message like this to talk about the power of words and how to use them for good and not for tearing people down or making yourself look better, I found myself actually talking less, which is not good, because as I thought about all the things as I was saying, I'm catching myself, hey, I want to say something bad about this person, or I want to say something negative about this situation, or that, this or that and the other. I found myself kind of stopping saying, hey, I got to deliver this message in a couple weeks. I can't say that. So I find myself actually talking less, which is not a good thing, which means I've got a lot of work to do in terms of what comes out of my mouth is a reflection of what's in my heart. James is filled with apps or applications for the tongue, and I'm going to run through just a couple for you. I would encourage you to dig deeper in the week ahead into James, but he talks about in chapter 1 being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. James was the first one to tell and remind us, hey, yo, God gave you two ears, and only one mouth. So proportionally, you ought to be listening more than you're talking as a general rule. So that's an important one. Chapter 4 talks about slander and gossip and how we use that to tear others down and build ourselves up, which is certainly something that's easily done. He also, in chapter 4, talks about how we use our words to puff ourselves up and brag about ourselves. Chapter 5, he talks about how we use our mouth to make promises to God and to others. And with that same mouth, that same tongue, those same words that we use to make promises to God and others, we also break promises to God and to others. He uses really three metaphors that are important for us today, I think. They're kind of really good, quick examples of the power of the tongue, how small it is, but the impact that it has. The first one he talks about is the rudder on a giant ship. It's typically the rudder is one of the smallest pieces of the ship, but without it, the ship goes the direction of the wind or the waves. But with it, with the small rudder, a small piece on the ship, it can change the direction of that ship anywhere the captain wants it to go. Same thing with the tongue. Smallest part of the body in terms of proportion, but can change the course of history. It can change the course of our lives and the lives around us. Also, James talks about the bridle or the bit in a horse's mouth. These giant animals, huge muscular animals that with a pound and a half piece of metal, the rider can guide the horse anywhere the horse needs to go or the rider wants the horse to go. And finally, he talks about the destruction of the tongue and how the tongue can set a path of destruction in its wake. And he uses the analogy or the metaphor of a forest fire and how forest fires, you know, they don't start by these giant flames. They typically start by a small spark or a small flame. And if you've ever seen the aftermath of a forest fire, it's devastating. I mean, everything in its path is destroyed. And James reminds us, hey, that's exactly what the tongue can do. The tongue and the words that come off the tongue can create such destruction in our lives and the lives of people around us. So let's talk about, there's four kind of applications that I want to give you as we go through today. And these are, you know, it's easy to say, hey, these four things, and hey, I went to church, I heard four things. What were those four things again? I don't know, but they were pretty cool. Don't do that today. I encourage you, as we go through these four things, ask God, wherever you are in your walk with him, to challenge you, because these challenge me in these four things. So maybe I'm just worse than everybody in the room, which is probably true, but he was really challenging me as I went through these four things, all right? So first one, talk with purpose. Talk with purpose. I know there's a lot of, it's easy to have a lot of kind of idle talk. Proverbs says it this way. Solomon says, even a fool keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Another way to say it, and I've heard it said, better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. All right, that's a good one. That's a good one for me. I might as well just keep, there's a lot of times it's great to just keep your mouth shut, and there's purpose in that as well. Paul said it in his letter to Titus, chapter 3, verse 9, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies, arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Pretty straightforward, to the point. I know there's a lot of conversations that more than likely are unprofitable and useless. So challenge you to find ways to talk with purpose. And if there's not purpose in what you're going to say, don't say it. My mom always said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. So apparently I only have a couple of movies that I pull examples from, because if you've heard me before, I've more than likely have used a scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, one of my favorite movies. But if you remember, there's a scene in there where Steve Martin's character gets so fed up with John Candy's character of telling stories that just go on and seem to be endless and they go nowhere. And he's so fed up in this scene. I thought it was appropriate to mention here. In a fit of rage, he says, hey, by the way, when you're telling your little stories, here's a good idea, he says. Have a point. it makes it so much easier for the listener. All right, so as you go through today, talk with a purpose. And remember Steve Martin when he says, have a point. It just makes it easier if you want to just make it easier for the listener. So that was a good one. Number two, recognize the power your words have. Recognize the power your words have. Solomon said, Proverbs 18:21, what we say can bring life and it can bring death. What we say can bring life and it can bring death. James also said it this way, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in his likeness. Same tongue, same heart. Praise God, lift him up, pray to him, and in the same words and the same lips, we tear others down. Happens every day. For me, it happens every day. It's a constant, constant battle. The tongue is impossible to tame. She was a professor at a community college in California. She had a student named Edward in her music theory class that she just caught her attention. Not because he was super outgoing or super good looking, actually just the opposite. He was skinny, 6 foot tall, old, dirty clothes, would never speak up, would never say anything, had no friends, and was a very poor student. Despite repeated attempts to kind of connect with him and help him in the class, Edward never responded. Final exams came, and Edward performed as he always had, bad. But something told the professor to use her words and the grade for Edward to change the direction of his life. When he came to meet with her for his final grade for that class, she said he looked terrible. Sunken eyes and black circles around his eyes, his cheeks were sunken in, hair was all matted, and he'd been in the same clothes that he'd been wearing for the last several weeks. Then he spoke for the first time to the professor. I know that I'm getting a low grade on my final, he said. I realize that I've not been participating in class. I'm an embarrassment to others. I'm lazy, selfish, stupid, and an ugly, no good for anything person. I have no place on this earth. And what's more, no one can ever love a person like me. I am hopeless. I'm a hopeless case with absolutely no future. When he finished, the professor faced him, looked him directly in his eyes, and said, Edward, your final grade is an A. His reaction was one of amazement. An A? How can you give me an A when I've done so poorly in class? The professor said, you may appear to be a D student, but you're an A person, she said. I believe in you, and I will always believe in you, and I'm here for you, and I will always be here for you. Never, ever forget that. Now go and create the life you dream of. Believe in yourself. I will be watching. And by the way, Edward, I love you. The professor later said that she had never spoken that way or given any kind of grade like that to a student. It's 3 a.m. the next morning. Her phone rings. A voice on the other line asked her if she was Edward's music theory teacher at Moore Park College. She told the man on the other line, yes. He said, I'm a priest at Edward's church, and I'm just calling to thank you on behalf of Edward's family and myself for saving Edward's life today. The day that Edward came to meet with the professor regarding his final grade, he had left a note on his pillow in his room at his home. It read, I'm sorry that I cannot be the kind of son and brother you wanted me to be. All I ever wanted was to be loved, and I'm sorry for being unlovable. I will go now, and you will find me in the closet. I'm sorry for any inconvenience I have caused you. Please have my body cremated. His plan was to go see the professor one last time before taking his own life. His parents later found a rope and a makeshift noose hanging from the rafters in the closet. when the professor gave him an A, told him that she believed in him and that she loved him and that she would be there for him, something changed in Edward. Those words changed him. He had never heard those words before, and it gave him something that we call hope. He left her office feeling positive and uplifted, and for the first time in his life, he felt so good, he decided to take a long walk in the hills around the college and relive the confirmation he had just heard. He was loved, and yes, someone in his useless life loved him and believed in him. He forgot all about his plans that day to take his own life. Remember the Proverbs, I'll say it again. What we say can bring life, and it can bring death. Your words, what you say, have power. My words, what I say, have power. And it can be even the simplest word that could change the course of the direction of someone in your life. So remember that today. Remember those words have power. And ask God and challenge yourself to show you what words to say and to whom. Because I know there's folks out there in all of our lives that could use those kinds of words today. Number three, recognize your speech is the clearest reflection of the type of person you are. And remember, the tongue is the only muscle that's not attached at both ends, right? It's the only muscle in the whole body where it's not attached at both ends, but it's the only muscle that's attached, at least spiritually speaking, directly to your heart. Jesus said it this way. He said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And likewise, an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus was clear. And I want to be clear this morning. What comes out of your mouth is simply a reflection of what's in our hearts. So we all know that guy. It's usually a guy. That everything that he hears is some kind of sexual innuendo. Hopefully you're not that guy in the room this morning. But why is that? Why is that? Because that's what's in his heart. That's just a reflection of what's in his heart. We also know those people where everything surrounds money. How much this is, how much that is, how much he makes, how much she makes. Why is that? Because it's simply what's in their heart. And all their words are, all their tongue is doing is just reflecting what's in our hearts. So the challenge this morning is to, first of all, just recognize that. And this has been one of the most challenging things for me as I've gone through this, is recognizing the words as I reflect. You know, anytime you put a message like this together, you reflect more closely. You're kind of more attuned to the words that you're saying. And this is the one that's hit closest for me, that it's been a difficult recognition for me to realize, hey, a lot of those words, all that is just a reflection of what's in my heart, and I've got a lot of heart work that I've got to get done. Fourthly, the last one, talk different. I think it's Apple. They used to have a marketing slogan. Maybe it's still the same, think different. Challenge today is to talk different. And for some of you, that might be as simple as words or phrases, hopefully hashtag, that you have to get rid of, that you have to just remove from your vocabulary to begin that process of heart change. So sometimes it's just those simple words that make you sound like everybody else, that God's challenging you to eliminate from your vocabulary. Maybe it's as simple as that. Paul says it this way in Ephesians, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Well, how do you know their needs? Two ears, one mouth, that whole deal. That it may benefit those who listen. So for all of us, there's plenty of unwholesome talk that we can certainly eliminate. So I challenge you this morning, think through that. Think through some of that unwholesome talk. A lot of it, when you boil it all down, it's talking about other people and saying things about other people that you wouldn't say to their face. For me, that's it. That's true. Talking about others, gossiping about others that you wouldn't say to them. The other thing that challenged me, and it may be a challenge for you as well this morning, there are things that I'll say to people in my family, people closest to me, that I and say it in ways with an edge on it that I would never dream of saying to a total stranger. It's people that I'll never see again. I'm nicer and say nicer things to them oftentimes than I say to the people in my own family. So that may be you, just like me, that may be you this morning, where that's where it starts. You just start by reaching out to somebody in your own family and redirecting the words you use with them. Mark Twain said, a man can live 2 months on a good compliment. I agree. A man can live 2 months on a compliment. I've also heard it said, if you want to lose friends quickly, start bragging about yourself. If you want to make and keep friends, start bragging about others. So maybe all it is this morning is every time this week that you want to talk bad about somebody behind their back, stop, think of something good to say about them, and then say that. That may be a very, very important step. So speaking of steps, let's talk next steps. Get out your connection card. There's always some, hopefully, some very appropriate next steps. There's a few on your connection card today, so grab those. I'm going to talk about two of them today. There's, I believe, five on your card, so I'm going to focus on two, but be sure to look through all of them as well and see where they apply. There's something very, we think, spiritual about marking that and kind of putting a stake in the ground and saying, hey, I'm marking it, and I'm putting it in the hashtag joy box today. Wow. I'm really glad I'm firing everybody up today. This is exciting. First one is, I talked about the tongue being directly connected to the heart. And the only way to change what comes out of your mouth is to change your heart. And there may be some here this morning that recognize that without Jesus, there is no opportunity for heart change. You can work really, 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 really hard at changing what comes out of your mouth. But unless you allow Jesus to come into your heart and begin that process of heart change over the rest of your life, there's no way you'll be able to truly change what comes out of your mouth. So if that's you this morning, that's the first step. You say, hey, you know what? I got to change what I say. I got to make sure that I change the direction of the words that I use. And you've never accepted and asked Jesus to take over your life and to change your heart. That's got to be your first step today. And it's very simple. The most important word, we talked a lot about the words and how powerful they are, the power to create life and end life. These simple words, if that's you this morning, the most important words you can say in this human existence on this earth are these words. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died to free my heart from my sin. I accept your free gift of salvation and give you my heart. That's it. If that's you this morning, again, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died to free my heart from my sin, and I accept your free gift of salvation, and I give you my heart. Just those simple words. If that's you this morning, two things. I challenge you to mark that. It's the last one on your connection card. Mark that one. If that's you this morning, I've been praying for you to have the courage this morning to mark that. Why mark that? Because we want to help you. We want to help you with life change. And we want to help you in beginning that relationship with Jesus. And secondly, more importantly, say those words. Say those words. Accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus. The second one that I want to encourage you with today is one that we're going to do together. It's a little activity we like to call the encouragement activity. So if you have your phone, which I know many of you do because I've seen many of you playing Angry Birds on it this morning, bust it out, because we're going to do, and I'm going to lead, a very important thing, the challenge today is to give one encouragement a day in this upcoming week by email, by text, by handwritten note, which would be so old school, hashtag old school, and it would or by phone call. And I'm going to lead us today. I've kept this to myself. And as I mentioned, one of the things that I want to do is some of the best places to start for me in terms of life change and what I say is those closest to me. So I'm going to call my sister right here. She's going to think I'm nuts calling her on a Sunday morning, but I'm going to call her. And all I challenge you to do, get your phone out, send a text message. I'm going to give you a couple minutes. I'm going to make a phone call. And then we'll give you 90 seconds to 120 seconds to make a phone call yourself. And it's very simple. I'm just going to tell my sister, hey, it's me. Just wanted to make sure you know how much I love you and how important you are to me. Have a great day. That's it. That's all you need to say. And this is something that I've been doing for a while. So when Kurt asked me to share today, this is close to my heart. So I'm not on Facebook and I'm not on Twitter, but I am on LinkedIn. And one of the things I try to do, if you're on LinkedIn, one of the things you can do is you can actually recommend people. You can actually say a paragraph or two about that person. So people that work directly for me on their birthday, they don't get a gift from me. All they get is a recommendation on LinkedIn. And it's just, you know, obviously you say great things about them. And I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed at how powerful that is for people. People have called me and said, I can't believe you did that for me. I can't believe you said that about me. Thanks so much. I've never had somebody say that about me. So challenge you to do that. So take 20 seconds and ask God, hey, who do I need to call today? Who needs encouragement? Who's that Edward in my life that needs to hear something encouraging today? I'm going to do it. She's going to think I'm nuts. Which makes it all the more interesting. All right. Now, one thing, by the way, don't say, hey, I'm in church and this is the assignment. Kind of ruins the whole thing, if you know what I'm saying. All right. Here we go. There she is. I'm not going to FaceTime, by the way. That would be more interesting. That'd be technologically, if she was on the, then she'd really be mad. Hey, it's ringing. She's got two little kids too. She's gonna be so mad. Three rings. Voicemail, voicemail, voicemail. Six rings. You know, if it keeps ringing, I'm just going to act. Oh, here she is. Voicemail. Hey, Rach, it's Paul. Hey, sorry to call you a Sunday morning. Just wanted to tell you how much I love you and how much I appreciate you and how important you are to me. You're a great mom and I appreciate you. I'll talk to you soon. I'm sure we'll see you soon in a couple weeks. Love you. Bye. 37 seconds and a whole lifetime of seconds. She's going to be surprised at that, at those words. And that hurts me. That my sister would be surprised that I would tell her those words. Because she doesn't hear those words from me enough. So take some time. Don't say you're going to do it or, hey, I'll get to it. If you have your phone, call somebody. Send a text message. Remember, don't say it's a church assignment. For me, as you do, the encouragement you receive back in terms of the feedback you receive will be more than you expect. fun to see the screens of people's phones lighting up their faces. That's just kind of interesting up here. So one encouragement a week, or one encouragement a day this week, could change somebody's life. Let's stand, if you would, with me, and I'd like to pray on our way out here. Lord Jesus, for anyone today who's willing to accept the eternal gift of your grace and of your forgiveness that starts the heart change that we need, I pray for the courage for them to do it today, the courage to say the words. And may the words that we say today, tomorrow, this week, next week, for the rest of our lives, may the words we say reflect you more every day. In your name, amen.